Everybody turn with me to page number 35. Page 35.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. My story, this is my song, praising thy Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect salvation, perfect delight, of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Page number 137. 137.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Ever burdened with a load of care, does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Good morning.
It is really good to be here this morning, and the sun's shining. It's a nice day outside, a little bit nippy. Wind's got a little bit of bite to it, but I was beginning to wonder if that big yellow orb even existed anymore. It's been so dreary, but God gives us a ray of sunshine when we need it, and that ray most of the time is for me is being here at church with y'all. Can't think of anywhere I'd rather be. It's a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. Had a good lesson this morning, as we always do. Thank Brother Gene for filling in for Brother Jeff. He did a great job. Brother Jeff's at the hospital with his mom as she's in recovering from her heart surgery. We'll get to that in just a minute. Have just a very few announcements. This morning is Brother Walter's special offering. So if you don't know, Brother Walter is getting ready, I think, Thursday to start chemo again. And so I know that he desires your prayers more than anything, because there's power in prayer, and that's where the healing comes from God. We're thankful for good doctors and whatnot, but true healing only comes from God, so keep Walter in your prayers. Next Sunday morning will be our youth fund offering, so come prepared for that as well. Nursery attendance this morning, Levita Kaiser and Vicki Ragsdale, and next Sunday will be Cindy and Jerry. Any other announcements, anything I missed?
Page 166.
Walking in sunlight, all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise me thine land can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and guide. He is the light, in him is no darkness, ever I'm walking close to his side. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
Please be seated. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Woo, it's good to see everybody out this morning. Finally got some sunshine. I love to have fun in the house of the Lord. I come here. I love to come here and visit with my church family on Sundays and Wednesday nights. It just refreshes me and charges my battery back up. And now I hope we're going to charge your battery up. We're going to sing an old song that we haven't done in a long, long time. but I know you're going to recognize it. So if you do, please feel free to sing along. It's "When God Dips His Love in My Heart."
Recite the Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to get into the Word. So if you would, stand with me, please. You can find this in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, if you don't know it. Let's just start. Our Father, y'all recite it with me. All right. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May be seated. Some places you find trespasses, some debts. It means the same thing. It's our sins. Appreciate God giving us this model prayer. We are in the third message in this series on prayer, as we work our way through. Remember, before we get started talking about that, or what I've deemed our theme for the year, no matter how much I read and learn, if I never apply it, it's useless. So this year, as we read and study, and as we study through the prayer series and others coming up, remember that no matter what we learn, if we don't put it to use, it really is useless. Our Father, which art in heaven. We talked about our Father at length last week. If you didn't get to hear that, you can catch up on YouTube and or audio on our website. I'm afraid that a lot of folk, as they've memorized the Lord's Prayer, when we say our Father and then get to the which art in heaven, skip right on by that and probably don't pay it nearly as much attention as we should. We do know that God, our Father, is in heaven. That's where he dwells. This is a mystical place in a lot of people's mind where people think that after you die and your spirit goes to be in the presence of the Lord, you just sit around floating on those clouds and do nothing. Let me tell you something, friend. Heaven is a lot more than that. If that's the view you have of heaven, you need to do a little studying and thinking about that. Now, that's another sermon for another day. What I want to examine this morning is what is God doing in heaven? Our Father, which art in heaven. So what's God doing up there? Let's examine for just a second and determine who all's in heaven with God. Number one is God. He's there. That's where he dwells. Number two would be the angels that didn't follow Satan and weren't cast out. And number three are the souls of those who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Okay? There's three heavens mentioned in the Bible. The first heaven is the air that we breathe. We walk in it. We can't live without it. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is the stars and the moon and the sun and all the constellations out there that we see at night. I think one of the greatest things about living in the country is that you can go out at night on a clear day and you can see all those beautiful stars and the Milky Way galaxy and all these things that God created. That truly shows the power of God. Then the third heaven, it's where God lives. That's where God dwells. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. So the Apostle Paul is saying that he knew someone that had been to the third heaven. Okay, the third heaven is where God lives. The words that we're studying this morning acknowledges where God lives in heaven. The third heaven truly is the dwelling place of God. Now, it's where God works from. It's where God does what God does. It is where God has given us everything that we have. It comes from this third heaven, this dwelling place of God, and it's a very special place. And I want to just understand a little bit more about that special heavenly place in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 2. And then eventually we're going to get down to chapter 20 in Revelation. So if you would, just turn to Revelation chapter 4 verse 2 and we'll begin there. This is John relating what Jesus has told him. In verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. Now, think about this for a second. In heaven, there's a throne. Do you have a picture in your mind when I say throne of what a throne is? Most of us do. Whenever I think of a throne, I think of an elevated, larger-than-life seat, maybe covered with gold, a very ornate, a very intricate-looking a place raised above everything else, and that's where the ruler sits, this throne, the one that's in charge. So in heaven, as we read, there's a throne. And upon this throne sits God. Okay, so what does this throne represent? I think that's a valid question this morning as we explore this Throne, to what does it represent to us? Well, to me, a throne represents a place of power. Not just power, but absolute power. It represents a place of rule and government, if you will. It represents a place of law. It represents a place of justice or judgment. The one who sits on this throne is not subject to Congress or the judicial system. I think sometimes that we in America, we're blessed with this form of government that we have, where we are ruled actually by the people. We, the people, have the power to vote in people to represent us. And sometimes we make good choices, sometimes we don't. But if we're not careful, we think of government and rule coming from this conglomeration of people subject to determination by the courts. And you know the system. It gets all very messed up if we're not real careful. But the throne of God is not like that. This throne in heaven that we're talking about is not like that. God sits on this throne. It is a place of absolute power. And God doesn't have to bend the rules to be politically correct. God doesn't have to ask someone if they think it'll be all right if we do this or that. He sets the rules. God, on this throne, He rules. Okay? So in heaven there is a throne and one sitting on the throne ruling. It doesn't matter if I like it or if you like it, what he says is what goes. Okay? I want you to keep that in your mind. So let's look at the throne here for just a minute. Verse 4. And around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts, these mighty angels, if you will, these living beings or creatures, they each had six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Now look at this for just a second. Any way you look at what we just read, this throne, this seat, this power of God is being bowed down to by everyone because it is the place of absolute power. 24 elders sitting around the throne, they're not ruling. They're being ruled. We have a tendency in our culture to think that someone that has a crown of gold has some prestigious place by which they're able to determine right and wrong for us. But if you look at the 24 elders around the throne of God, they are being ruled, not ruling. They're sitting. They are being ruled. These elders with their crowns are not dictating policy to God. They're not making law. They're paying close attention to what the one sitting on the throne is doing. They're paying him homage. They're paying the four beasts or the living beings. These are very strong, powerful angels that are ministering to God around the throne. They're flying around the throne continuously, and they didn't rest day or night. They just served. And here's what they said: "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Verse 9. "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sit on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord." Did you hear that? "Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Here's something that a lot of times we don't want to talk about, because we live in this selfish culture that we live in, and if we're not real careful, we get the idea that God is this benevolent being sitting up on his big throne in heaven, just waiting on Sam to call up there and ask for something so he can give it to me. And nothing further from the truth. God Almighty created everything that we know, including me and you, for his honor and glory. He rules from this throne. He deserves our honor. He deserves everything. We deserve nothing. We, along with all creation, was created for the pleasure of God, not for our own pleasure. Revelation 5:1 said, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals." Now, we know that the right hand is a show of power. And we know from reading and studying God's word that Jesus Christ, when he ascended up into heaven, after he had received his glorified body, sits on the right hand of God. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, if you will, has power because, as we read in the scripture, he said, "All power is given me in heaven and in earth." And the power was given him by God Almighty. Now, we talk a lot in our night studies about this book in Revelations, which no man was worthy to open. I want you to think about that for a second. We have this big throne in heaven of God sitting on it, and then around this throne, all this is going on, and this book that God has in his right hand, his hand of power. And they did a search, and they looked all through heaven, and they looked all through earth, and there was no one found worthy to open this book that God had. And then Jesus came onto the scene. Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, friend, is no less God than God Almighty. He is just as much God. He's just God in the flesh. So God himself was the only one that was worthy to open this book. God the Father gave the book to his Son, Jesus Christ, to open. And as he opened that, I want you to think about what was going on around there at the time. If you go back and you remember what we just read, there was power crashing, lightnings and thunderings coming out from around the throne, and here's God giving this book to Jesus Christ. Thunders and lightnings, and it's a busy place up there, and it's one of great power. Only God is able. Listen to me, friend. You're probably wondering, where does this go with prayer? I want you to know that when we pray to God. That's the God we pray to. When we pray to the one who created everything, who's in control of everything, who is bowed down to by everyone, who deserves this right. That's who we pray to. Don't you think back with me to the Old Testament days for just a little bit, and then the tabernacle. You remember the tabernacle? The tabernacle was this portable place that was a place for God to dwell while he was with the children of Israel. And in that tabernacle, there was a place called the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies, there was this little thing called the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you go back and you read about the Ark of the Covenant, it was very specific about how they were to handle it, how they were to transport it, how they were to treat it. It was, if you touched it, if you just touched it, you died. That's the purity and the power of God. Okay, this ark in the inner sanctum, if you will, or the Holy of Holies is where God dwelt when he was here with the children of Israel. On top of that, there were two cherubims. They were facing each other, these big ornate models, if you will, of these cherubim angels facing each other. And when God came down and he settled there, he sat there in between them. And when the high priest went in, that's where God was when he was talking to him. This place was so powerful and so holy that when the high priest went in, he had to prepare himself before he could even come in to the room, into this inner sanctum, into this holy of holies. He went through a very vigorous cleansing process. And if he didn't do it right, guess what happened to him? He died. Because that's the purity and the power of God. It was such a place that no one else could go in there except the high priest. So when they went in, the high priest, after all this purification process, they tied a rope onto his foot in case he messed up somewhere and didn't get purified. When he died, they could drag him out. They didn't have any other way of getting him out. You know, that to me means that there had to have been a high priest sometime or another that went in there that died. But that's the power. That's the holiness of this throne, if you will, of this place where God dwells. You realize that that's still the same God that we pray to. This God that is so pure and so powerful that just being in his presence unworthily will kill you. Regardless of what we might think nowadays, ordinary people couldn't just go into the Holy of Holies. I want you to know something, friend. Today, ordinary people can't just go into the presence of God. They have to go covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can come in the presence of God. Listen to me, friend. Your prayers are the same way. God will hear your prayer of salvation. Your other prayers, I'm afraid, are not getting to the throne room because they have to go through the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no greater power than God, and his throne is where he rules from. His throne right now is in heaven, Father, which art in heaven. It's the ruling place of God. Someday it will be with men. I look forward to that day when Jesus Christ comes back and gets us and we go through this whole process. We pray to our Father, God Almighty, and end up by using in the name of Jesus, because it's only through Jesus that we have the privilege of prayer. He is our intercessor. We can only approach the throne through the grace and forgiveness of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Think with me for just a little bit. I want to try to get to through to you the power of God. Remember Moses? You remember back, God prepared him for 80 years before he came back and led the children of Israel out. When he came back and he stood before Pharaoh, he came back in the power of God, and God showed his power through Moses. He was a conduit, a conductor, the power of God. The power wasn't in Moses. The power was God's power. Remember the plagues of all that they went through? Remember the parting of the Red Sea? That's an amazing story. If you hadn't read it lately, go back and reread it. But literally, the Red Sea was rolled back like a scroll. And I don't know if you've ever seen a pond that's been drained or anything, but the water has sunk down and into the, it's mud, deep mud down in the bottom. But listen, the power of God was such that he rolled back the Red Sea and the children of Israel crossed on dry land. Amen. And when they got across, God pulled back his power and he killed all of Pharaoh's army. Killed them all. That's the power of God. Remember the manna come down from heaven. If you remember, the children of Israel didn't believe God was going to give them this promised land. And so they wandered in the desert for 40 years. You know, their sandals didn't even wear out. That's a part of the power of God. Do you know they couldn't feed themselves while they were there? That's why God sent them the manna. This bread, this sweet bread that fell from the sky, and it fell every day, and they couldn't keep it and store it. And you know what that was a picture of? That they had to depend on God and his power for sustenance. Listen, they're just like us. They got tired of this manna, this wonderful stuff that fell, that all they had to do was pick it up. And so they were displeased, and God in his mighty power sent them quail along with it. I think just a little bit about the water that it took. Remember, they're on this journey in the desert. I think about a few million people and all their animals and everything that they took with them going out across the desert. Friend, it took a train load of provisions every day for them to survive, and the water. Tanker trucks and tanker trucks full of water just to water them, and God provided in the desert. When Moses struck the rock, do you remember? The children were thirsty. God told him to strike the rock and water gushed forth. So Moses was striking God, and God gave the water. The next time that the rock was before them, and God told Moses to speak to the rock, and Moses struck the rock again. He struck God when he struck that rock. Moses wasn't allowed to enter the promised land because of this disobedience. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. All of these things show us God's power. What about Mount Sinai? You remember when Moses went up on the mount a little bit before what we just talked about and received the Ten Commandments, and he wanted to see God, and God put him in this little crack in the rock and wouldn't let him look at his face, but he got to see the backside of God as God walked by. And when he came down off that mountain, he shone, his face was shining so bright that the children of Israel couldn't even look on him. They had to put a bag or on his head before they could even look at him. That is just a little bit of the power of God. What about Jonah? You remember Jonah? I don't know about you, but to me, it's physically impossible for someone to be swallowed by a big fish, live in the belly for 3 days, and then come out alive and well. That's the power of God. But even more than that, when Jonah came out and he went down to Nineveh and he preached the word of God, that whole city repented. Folk, that's the power of God. Over in the end of the book, God, after the 7 years of tribulation, go to chapter 20. Has Satan thrown in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years? Okay, Satan is cast bound into this bottomless pit for 1,000 years. After the 1,000 years, after the rule of Christ here on this earth, he's turned loose for a little while to gather a great army to do battle against God one last time. Let's just read it. Revelation 20 and verse 7. And when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up in the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night for how long? Ever and ever. Folk, that is the power of God. God has the power to do with Satan as he pleases. God has the power to do with us as he pleases. God has the power to do with this nation as he pleases. Listen to me, friend. God is in control of everything. Our Father, which art in heaven, when you pray to God Almighty in heaven, you are praying to the supreme being of everything, the one who has the power. Here's what I want you to get this morning. Are we praying, hoping that God will answer our prayer? Maybe God can heal me from this. Maybe God can deliver me from that. Maybe God can still save people. Maybe God can still heal this nation. Or do we pray to the one that's in power, to the throne of God Almighty, knowing that God can do anything? Listen, when we pray to God, we are going directly to the power source. We should know in our heart when we pray that God answers our prayers. Well, preacher, I don't always get what I ask for. Maybe you're asking for the wrong things. You see, you remember that little deal that we're here for His honor, His glory, and His pleasure? It's not all about this life, friend. This life's just a journey to where we get to be with Him. You want big things? You want God to change this country? You want God to change this little community that we live in? Pray big prayers. God's able. Be bold. Ask God to save the lost round about. Ask God to intervene in people's lives. You see, true healing comes from knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Everything else is just part of the journey. Pray boldly when you go before the throne of God. What's happening in your life right now? I dare say that all of us have either been through some hard times or going through some hard times. And if you've been very fortunate and not, listen to me, friend, your time's come and you will see hard times, because the Bible tells us that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. It's coming. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. But it's not bigger than the power of God. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus operates with the power and with the authority of God Almighty. He said, "All power is given me." God gave him the power. God has the power. You want to change your life? When you go to God in prayer, pray knowing. The Bible tells us that we have not because we ask not. What are you asking God for this morning? I hope and pray that we're all praying for the lost round about us, because from the prophecies and from what I see in the Word, I think that Jesus Christ can come back at any time. And I personally know people and love people and they're around people and have kinfolk that are not saved. Breaks my heart. And listen, what we're responsible for is to share the gospel. The power comes from God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So are you praying bold prayers? Are you praying specific prayers? Ask God specifically for the one that you know that's lost. Ask God specifically for the one that you know that's suffering an illness. Pray for them. Ask God specifically, and He will answer your prayers. Have faith. God sits on the throne. He's in control. God changes lives. How do we pray today? Our Father, which art in heaven, sitting on your throne, God, I know you can. God, I pray in your name, your will. But I pray for, fill in the blank. You have not, because you ask not, because we have a direct line to the one who's in control and who has the power, God Almighty. He's sitting on a mighty throne right now. He's in control no matter what we might think. It's not Congress. It's not the president. It's not the EU or anybody else. It's God. He's in control. And one of these days He's going to send Jesus back and we're going to be liberated from this old earth and given a new body and live with Him forever and enjoy the many pleasures that He's going to give us in eternity. How do we pray this morning? I want to ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. I'll ask our song leader and our pianist to come. No matter what you've got going in your life, you can give it to Jesus. God has the power to change your life. Father, as we come to you at this time, Lord, we're thankful that you've allowed us this great privilege and this great honor to come before your throne. Lord, that we can bring our petitions and our desires and our wants and our needs before your throne of grace. And Lord, I pray that if there's any here amongst us this morning that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that you would send the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit would deal with them, Lord, in a way that they would understand that they need Jesus in their life before it's too late. Lord, whatever the other reasons are here, maybe someone is sick or having family problems, or Lord, I don't know the needs of everyone here, but you do. I pray, Lord, that your will would be realized in their life. Lord, I believe in my heart that the first thing that we have to do, Lord, is to realize that you're the one in control, not me. And now when I give it to you, Lord, that you only have my best interests at heart because you're my Father and you love me. And Lord, help me to accept whatever that might be. Lord, we pray in your will through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Page number 270.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.